You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us today is our very special guest, Ms. Barbara Hart, who is the president and CEO of Lowy Danberg, a 50-attorney firm specializing in fighting for victims and survivors. Ms. Hart represents union members and union pension funds and recovered $219 million for many New York unions who were devastated by Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme. Ms. Hart represented the New York City pension fund unions in the fraud involving financial fraud by the Juniper and got back $169 million. She has represented public workers in Connecticut, California, and she has also represented Local 237. Today, she's here to discuss her work for individual survivors and to tell about her work for survivors who lived through childhood sexual abuse. Ms. Hart, welcome to Reaching Out.
Thank you so much for having me here today. I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to share information with people who may not know about their new rights under this law.
First, let's talk about the law. Tell us what the law is, when it was passed, who sponsored it, and what it does.
Well, it was just a total function of collective action and solidarity that we were able to get the Senate majority and able to get legislation passed to protect people who are survivors of sexual abuse. The Democratic majority was able to pass the legislation, and it gives victims the right to bring claims that would otherwise be time barred. You know, so if you're a man or woman who in the 1950s or 60s or 70s was a child and was abused and have never acted on the fact that that trauma occurred in your life, well, now, starting in August, you'll have a year to go ahead and bring a claim against the people that enabled that to happen and maybe set the record straight and set things more right for you. So that's what the law provides. It extends the statute of limitations for people that have current claims, but it goes back in time and allows people that were victimized decades and decades and decades ago to now come forward and try to put the shame and blame where it belongs. So that's called the Child's Victim Act, and it was passed earlier this year in February, and in August, you'll have the right of action to go ahead and bring those claims.
Now, is this a city law, state law, or federal law?
It's a state law. What we're finding is that people across the country are coming together. We all know about the importance of collective action and solidarity and the fact that people with little power, when they band together, can make change and make things right. So we've seen this occur in California and New Jersey and in Minnesota, and now it's happened in New York. So this is a New York state law, and with the change in the composition of the Senate, it was enacted. And so it's a state law that gives victims rights to come forward. And my client in this particular instance, or one of my clients, is actually a New York police officer, long retired. He's in his 70s. And he was personally the victim of a doctor that operated at Rockefeller University Hospital. So under the auspices of that really prestigious university hospital, he was victimizing thousands of young boys who are now men in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Now, that case is now closed, correct?
No, actually, because the change in the law is occurring, he's able to bring this claim. So it was, you know, when he was a child. And so often with these instances, people suppress the memory. They don't act on the memory. It's only later that he actually received recently a letter from the hospital that it even all came rushing back to him. But now with the law in August, he'll be able to take action. And one of the things we're trying to do is to protect his rights. So the law, as enacted, gives a six-month waiting period. So right now, those claims would still be time-barred. But we're out trying to communicate, like many other fine lawyers, with people so that they know their rights and they're ready to go. Because in August, you only then have 1 year. It's just a 1 year where it's making that claim ripe again, that you can go forward with that claim.
Now, why was lifting the statute of limitations important to those cases?
Well, we've come to realize that children often did try to tell the adults around them, but the adults didn't understand it. It was a different day and age. It was deeply traumatic, but people didn't really want to address it at the time. The children were fearful. They were given excuses. The doctor was just treating you medically. We all trust the priest. We all trust the coach. We all trust your teacher. That can't be so. The children were often disbelieved. So this lifting of the statute of limitations, now that we have a deeper understanding of the way in which this trauma impacts people's lives, is actually going to help us to put the blame where it belongs. The children were blameless. The adults need to be held accountable, and the institutions that enabled the adults to have access to the children, like Rockefeller University Hospital did, they need to be held accountable, and that's what the litigation will be about, and it allows that litigation to be brought starting in August, but just for 1 year.
Now, how far does this law go back? Say something happened in the 1940s and the person was still around. Does it apply to somebody in the 1940s?
Yes, it would. It doesn't have a start date. The issue will be that many of those people have passed away. And that could be for people that were children in the 40s or 50s or 60s. Their families may have a cause of action. So, you know, sadly, some of these people succumb to suicide, and because of the trauma that they've lived with and the darkness that it fed their lives with, and some of those people may have died of natural causes or potentially of suicide, their families could potentially have a claim against those institutions. They lost that loved one. Perhaps that loved one had problems for their entire life that the family never understood, but they had told of an abuse. If there is some evidence that there was abuse, you know, you should speak with a lawyer about it. And we've set up an 800 number for people to call. There are many talented lawyers out there that you can speak to and get solid advice. We're among them. We are not exclusively them, but if you call the 800 number that we have, which is 888-978-4931, you'll speak to me, and we'll try to sort out whether or not you have a claim against the school or the camp or the church or the university or the hospital, and we'll try to figure out whether or not there's something to be done under the change in the law.
Would you like to give that number again, and we'll get our listeners time to get a pencil?
Great. Thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate that. We've also got a web page. If you go on to the internet, you'll find several law firms that are offering these services. And, you know, I am truly trying to make sure that people are aware that now they have a right that really was hard fought. And many victims had come together, survivors had come together to make this change in the law, and the legislature responded. So the number where you can reach us, where you can reach me, is 888-978-4931. And we also have a web page, which is New York Victims of sexualabuse.com. And you'll see information there. But my main goal is to make sure that older people who may have suffered abuse as children are aware of their rights. It's been really hard fought to get this change in the law. And now we need to make sure that we make use of it. And you only have 1 year. It's not indefinite that your claim will be ripe again, that your claim will be honored by the court. So you do have to call and get some advice about what you can do.
Now, again, that's 1 year from August?
1 year from August, Greg. So right now, we're in a waiting period, and that's when people should be getting their advice. We've actually gone to court, though, to try to make sure that documents are not destroyed and photographs are not destroyed. This particular doctor was known for taking photos of his victims. And so, unfortunately, much of the record keeping over time may be destroyed. And what we want is to preserve the record. So we've gone to court to try to make sure that a neutral party will be put in place by the court, will be appointed. Because sometimes what you'll have is the camp will reach out to you, or the university hospital will reach out to you. And you might think you're talking to a neutral person, but you're not talking to a neutral person. You're talking to a potential defendant or their lawyer. So you need to get neutral, solid advice, and we need to make sure that no documents or evidence are destroyed during this six-month waiting period before August. August is the time when lawsuits can be filed that were otherwise time-barred.
Are we allowed to know the hospital and the doctor's name, or is that confidential?
No, it's quite public. He victimized, perhaps up to 9,000 people under the fraud of doing a study on shortness. So really, loving parents were trying to get their boys that they were concerned might be short, which, of course, there's no fault in that. But, parents want what they want for their kids. So they were putting these boys into a study of shortness under Dr. Archibald, and it's Dr. Reginald Archibald, and he practiced at Rockefeller University Hospital, and he was supposedly doing research on this issue and treating these boys for shortness. And of course, he was really exploiting a lot of working people, working families who were bamboozled by the name Rockefeller University Hospital and the prestige, and it was a free study. And so those parents were trying to be conscientious and get their boys treated, but instead those boys were being victimized by Dr. Reginald Archibald.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest is Ms. Barbara Hart, who is the President and CEO of Lowry Danberg, a 50-attorney firm specializing in fighting for victims and survivors. And we're here talking about the recent legislation that was passed in New York State that would extend the filing of victims of sexual abuse. And we're here talking about her very special cases and how you can, if you were a victim of sexual assault, or if you know somebody who was a victim of sexual assault, and they have a claim, they can contact her or any other firms handling this.
Thank you so much, Greg. Yes, I do encourage people to call. If you were a child who was abused even decades and decades ago, 1950s or 40s, or you had a loved one who you know was abused by an adult and they were a child under 18 years of age, they now have the right to bring that claim, a claim that would have been time barred, except now the New York legislature has passed the Child's Victim Act. And that gives you the right to go ahead and speak with an attorney. And if you have a claim, then you'll be able to bring that claim that would otherwise be barred because of too much time having passed. Well, we've fixed that. A lot of people worked really hard and they fixed that.
Let me ask you, the family members who know their loved ones were victimized, but the loved ones are no longer with us. They're deceased. Do they have any rights under this law?
We believe that they do. So family members may be able to reopen estate proceedings, and the estate may have a claim. So because the major impediment to that claim would have been the statute of limitations. So if you know that your father or your mother, who's passed away, was victimized by a coach, a gymnastics coach, a teacher, a priest, you know, many, many, many unfortunate things occur to children, and sometimes they're very difficult to address at the time. This is the time to get good advice. There may be nothing that can be done, but now, with the passage of the Child Victim Act, it may in fact be possible that loved ones who are still alive, they lost their mom or dad, that they could come forward and have a claim that could be of value to them and their family and the grandchildren at this point.
So how did this change of law occur?
Well, we all know the value of people that would perhaps be otherwise disempowered, not powerful, the power of people coming together. So people that are, victims, unfortunately, of the church abuse have been in the forefront of changing the legislation state by state by state. And they've really fought for a long time. This legislation has been pending but not passed in New York. It was changed so that it did not just target the Catholic Church. Originally, it was just targeted that victims of the Catholic Church scandal would be able to bring a lawsuit even if it happened decades ago. That's no longer the case. People who have been victimized in schools or camps or whatever the circumstances can now get advice and may have the right to bring a claim starting in August. So what happened was a lot of people worked together very hard for a long time, and then there was the change in the legislature that allowed the Democrats to be in charge, and it whoosh went through and passed. And that was in February, and now in August there'll be the cause of action will be ripe, and you can bring a claim for that decades long ago abuse.
Now, why does the claims in the law take place in August and not now?
You know, that's interesting. I think that there's not a lot of legislative history in the documentation about the waiting period. I think the best intentions were that since there's only going to be a year, you'd get kind of a running start. People would be able to get knowledge out there, and people like me would be able to make sure that people understood their rights. My concern is that that waiting period not get exploited, that people that are, or entities, institutions that are fearful of their liability and the money they might have to pay, that they not be able to destroy documents, that there be preservation of all the evidence. So we don't want, you know, this 6-month waiting period, which is allowing people to kind of think about and reflect on whether or not they want to speak to somebody and to get their ducks in a row. We don't want that to be exploited. So we've actually gone to court and we've asked for a document preservation order to be put in place. And we are trying to make sure that there's not mischief in this Rockefeller University Hospital case. And we'll see. That's going to be before the court. And we'll see. But it's really, we're just trying to get a neutral level playing field set up so that we don't have any more loss of the evidence, as there would be with so much time passing.
Is this the only case that you have so far that you know of, a huge case? Or are there more out there that we could alert people to, that if they know anybody who was a victim of those cases, they could come forward?
I believe there's been press about teachers and counselors in schools, some you know, and I don't want to tarnish, you know, my dad was a public high school principal. My mom worked in a public school. Obviously, I adore the public schools, and I benefited from a public school education. So once in a while, there's a bad apple, and that's what we're trying to sift out. There's obviously many cases against different parishes, and there's those will continue to develop, and that is not done. There are other victims that have not, or survivors that have not yet come forward for their day in court against certain of the priests in various parishes. There's a list on the web of, you know, priests that have been identified, but I don't think it's in any way exhaustive, and there's much more that we're coming to know. And of course, this isn't just about Manhattan. This is all of New York State, so Buffalo and Schenectady and Syracuse. This is really something that could be throughout the state. I know of you know, some gymnastics places that have allegations, and of course, unfortunately, camps. Sometimes these people with their bad motives or their pathology are drawn to settings where there are a lot of children. And that's why those organizations really have a special duty to exercise, you know, screening and supervision. And that's why you can have a claim against them. If they're giving access to children, they have to know who their staff is. They have to know that their staff doesn't have an opportunity to exploit the children. And those are why you can now have negligence claims like we do or will against Rockefeller University Hospital, because it was negligent supervision of this Dr. Reginald Archibald in this instance.
So if someone out there is a victim and they're afraid to come forward because they don't want to be identified, are these proceedings kept confidential?
Your identity need not be given at the outset. Many of these claims are handled through private mediation. If you file a claim in court, it can be explored whether you can be identified as Jane or John Doe. Ultimately, the accused has the right to know who the accuser is, but there are special protections that will be invoked in order to try to keep people's identities private. But certainly, you know, without being insensitive to people's concerns about not being identified, it is time for us to put the blame and shame on the perpetrators and the enablers, and not on people that were children who did nothing wrong. So I am not trying to suggest that I want to be indifferent to people's desire for privacy. That's something that can be discussed with me or with the attorney of your choice. But I do want people to know that there are counselors out there. Many of these institutions, recognizing their liability, are paying for counseling. And it's important for us to all make sure that it was never the child's fault. And so the courts can be sensitive about people's privacy and their identity, but we also need to recognize where the blame belongs.
Well, I'm sorry, that's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. I'm going to ask Ms. Barbara Hart, who's the president and CEO of the Laurie Group, Laurie Danberg Group, to give her number one more time, and we're going to say it slowly.
Thank you so much again, and for giving me the opportunity to talk to people about this important issue. It's 1-888-978-4931.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.